Well, good morning and welcome to all who've gathered in today in the church hall and in through in the church building. Hello also to others who will be listening to the recording of this service at some stage later on. The following are the announcements for this week. This evening we have a prayer time at 10 past 7, and that will be not in the church hall but in the church building, using the pews at the front, and then our evening service in the church building at 7:30. There are leaflets on the tables today with prayer points. This is the annual week of prayer for the mission work of our denomination, and so there are leaflets on the tables giving for different days different prayer points for the work in Nantes and the work in Spain and in other places. Our midweek meeting this week is on Tuesday, and that's at 8:00 in the church hall. It's week 7 of the Discipleship Explored course. It's an 8-week course, so this is number 7. The topic is Rejoicing in Christ, and it's based on Philippians 4, verses 1 to 9. Next Lord's Day, and a reminder that it's time change next weekend, so the clocks go forward an hour. Sabbath school classes then meet at 11, and the morning service is at 12 noon. This is the last day that we're due to be meeting in the church hall, and next Sabbath day then the plan is that we meet in the church building, and we leave every other pew empty for social distancing purposes. And so the way that will work, I hope the way it will work is that kind of fill in the pews from the back. If you have a bigger group of people, you could sit in the middle pews, or alternatively you can use two pews together at the side, but leave an empty pew in front of whoever's sitting. And so unless you're in the back row, you should have an empty pew behind you and an empty pew in front of you, unless you're a family group that are using two side pews. So that between the downstairs and the upstairs, we should have room for everybody that is presently worshiping with us. It may mean that some people will be sitting a bit further forward than in the building than you would be used to, and that's the arrangement. The session room will be available. There is a speaker in the session room. There's also a speaker upstairs in the room to the right, upstairs. But there'll not be any. It'll just be sound available. There'll not be any picture. So I'm hoping that most folk will be able to be in the church building. But if you do feel that you're not quite comfortable with that, the session room is available. Although that would only be for a few people. There'd be no point having 20 people in the session room. That would be far worse than being spread all out in the church building. If anyone has any concerns, you can speak to me through the week. And just in terms of people who may not be as mobile as others, if you could show consideration for folk that might not be able to come further forward in the church building, if you're sitting near the back and you see somebody coming in, that would probably be better sitting where you are. If you could just move to another place to allow those who need to be near the door to be near the door. Next week, then, the prayer meeting in the evening in the church building at 7:10, and the evening service in the church building at 7:30. Now, a reminder of the Ukraine appeal. Last Sabbath day and this Sabbath day was the opportunity to give something for the Ukraine appeal. Our relief committee is making this appeal, and every week over the last few weeks they've been sending money out to Ukraine. As they've received the money, it has been going out there. So today is the last day. If you've forgotten this morning, you can it's available in the evening, or if need be, as soon as possible. If you have something to give and you don't have it today, just put it in a envelope marked Ukraine Appeal. Then there's another announcement in regard to the Homes for Ukraine program. Reverend Nathan Hawthorne of our Ballyclare congregation has agreed to coordinate a collective response on behalf of RP churches that have facilities, church facilities, that could be adapted to provide accommodation for refugees fleeing the war in Ukraine. And so all of our congregations have been asked to consider if the church has property that could be used for refugees. Some congregations have empty manses, and those manses can be made available. Other congregations have sufficient facilities that it could be possible, with a few adjustments, to provide accommodation. So we're asked to consider if in Karatz our church property could feasibly be used if there was a need for it. And so I'm asking that elders and deacons meet briefly after the evening service to decide on that, because we need to let Nathan Hawthorne know as soon as possible. But that's just for church-owned property, church halls and whatever rooms are available, and manse. And then also, the scheme is open to householders to offer accommodation, and that's not something that Nathan Hawthorne will be taking on board. It's up to people individually. If you have a room that you would like to make available for refugee people, you can apply through that scheme. There's no guarantee that your offer will be taken up, but that's something that I would encourage you to consider doing. And the elders and deacons can consider whether you would be happy for refugees to be in the manse. We don't own the our family doesn't own the manse. So if we did decide to apply for that, we would need permission to do so. I was chairing the session meeting in Ballylagan the other night on Thursday, so there. Their elders will be meeting with the church committee today to talk about the manse in Ballylagan being made available for refugees, and also the possibility of the church hall being adjusted to be made available for that purpose. The announcement in regard to Go Teams, on the church website, the RP Church website, the applications for Go Teams this year, those are now available. And the first team, most urgent one, is the team to Stranraer, 14th to 18th of April. So those applications need to be in soon. Other teams are further away. Then the summer camps, I don't think they're on the website just yet, but they will be very soon, the applications for summer camps. Senior camp, 2nd to the 9th of July, and the adventure and discovery camps are all the 30th of July to the 6th of August. And we haven't had church camps in a proper way over the last couple of years. So just a reminder that the congregation covers 50% of the costs of young folk from our congregation who are still in education, who wish to attend our RP summer camps. The announcement is there again about the EMF conference in Ballymoney Baptist Church. That's on Saturday coming, the 26th of March. And just note from the prayer points, church news-wise, Reverend Peter Jemfrey accepted the call of the Knockbracken congregation on Tuesday night. And he is continuing as minister in Galway until the end of this month. And then in due course, they will move to Knockbracken. Reverend Raymond Blair has been appointed as interim moderator for Galway, and so the Ballylagan call was declined, and that means that I continue to serve as interim moderator in the Ballylagan congregation. The hope was that it would be a short vacancy, and that call would have been successful. That has not been the case, and the expectation now is that it'll not be a short vacancy. So I expect to be in Ballylagan for a good while still. I expect Ballylagan to be vacant for a good while to come. Whether I can be there for a good while to come is another matter. But for now, that is the situation. So with those announcements, then let us today come to the worship of God, and we sing praise from Psalm 116. Psalm 116, and we sing the first six stanzas of the psalm, and the tune is Argyle number 43. Psalm 116, the first six stanzas. I love the Lord because he hears my voice, he hears my plea. So while I live, I'll call on him who turned his ear to me. The very cords of death, they did completely me surround. The terrors of the grave took hold. I grief and trouble found. Then on the Lord's name I did call, and I to him did say, deliver now my soul, O Lord, I earnestly do pray. And the answer to that was, the Lord is gracious and is just. Our God does mercy show. The Lord preserves the simple ones. He saved me when brought low. So we sing the first six stanzas of Psalm 116. We stand to sing and remain standing then for prayer. Let us all worship God.
I love the Lord because he hears my voice, he hears my plea. So while I live, I call on him who turned his ear to me. The very cords of death they did completely me surround. The terrors of the grave took hold. I grief and trouble found. Then on the Lord's name I did call, and I to him did say, deliver now my soul, O Lord, I earnestly do pray. The Lord is gracious and is just. Our God does mercy show. The Lord preserves the simple ones. He saved me when brought low. Return my soul now to your rest, because the Lord has been so good to you, for you indeed my soul from death set free. My eyes from tears you freed, my feet from stumbling you did free. I'll walk before the Lord as long as I alive will be.
Speak to God in prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we praise you for another Lord's Day, and we thank you for a nice, bright spring morning. We thank you for the sunshine and for the drying breeze that we have. And Lord, we praise you for the renewal that we see around us at this time of year. We give thanks, Lord, for the new growth and for the change in outlook. We rejoice, O Lord, in the creation that you have put in place, and for all the marvels of it. We thank you for the seed time and the harvest time that you have appointed these times. And Lord, we ask that you will continue to be merciful and faithful in these days. Lord, we look to you in our worship. We pray that for your help as we do so. We give thanks, Lord, for the measure of health that you've given us that allows us to be out at worship today. We pray for others not able to be here, and we pray, Lord, for your comfort and presence in the places where they are. Lord, we ask you will forgive us our sins and help us to look to you and put our hope and trust in you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. For our scripture reading today, we turn to the book of Psalms and to the psalm that we have just sung part of, Psalm 116. The page number in the Pew Bible is 543. Psalm 116, and we read together the whole of this psalm. Let us hear God's word. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And so reads God's own true word. Now I'll say a few words to the children who are here today or who may be listening later. And I wonder, did you notice today when you came in into the church grounds that our new church gates are now in place? And the farm gate that we've had for quite a while, it's not there anymore. If you didn't notice those new gates on the way in, well, you can have a wee look at them after the service. And today I wanted to say just a few words about gates that we read of in the Bible. First of all, there are the gates of heaven. And in the book of Revelation, we're told various things about the gates of heaven. Revelation 21, verse 25 tells us that those gates are never shut, for there is no night there. And in Old Testament times, we read about times when the city gates would have been shut at a certain time of the day. And as it came towards the end of the day and light was fading, the gates would have been closed, and then they wouldn't have been opened again until the morning. But the gates of heaven are never shut, for there is no night there. And there is no danger to heaven. There are no threats. People don't have to be kept out, and people don't have to be kept in, and the gates are never shut. And then the Bible also speaks to us about the gates of hell. Matthew 16, verse 18 tells us how the Lord Jesus Christ is building his church, and the gates of hell will not stop him building his church. The gates of hell are not something that are stronger than the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus rescues people from the hell that they're heading towards. And he is building his church, and he is rescuing people and saving people. And the gates of hell can't stop him doing that work. And Jesus will save every single person that he intends to save. And it doesn't matter how grim their life might be at present and how strong a grip sin seems to have upon them, Jesus is stronger than the gates of hell. And then also the Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus spoke of himself as being the gate. In some Bible translations, John 10, verse 9, Jesus says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." Jesus calls himself the gate. And he means that he is the way in to eternal life and eternal safety. Jesus is the way into the presence of God. How do you get into God's house? You have to go through the gate. And Jesus says, "I am the gate." And he says, "Whoever enters through me will be saved." And so there's a gate that we all need to enter through. And Jesus is that gate. There is no other way into heaven. Jesus Christ is the only way. But that way works. It works for everyone. Everyone who goes through that gate enters in and finds the salvation of God. Jesus says, "Whoever enters through me will be saved." So Jesus is the gate that we all need. Now, we are going to come to God in prayer now, and the prayer points leaflets that cover the various days of this new week that we're into. I'll pray for a few of the items that are on today's list of prayer points, and among them, Mary McCollum from our Limavady congregation is presently teaching in a school in South Africa, and so she is someone that we remember in our prayers. I'll mention also that in the Airdrie Church in Scotland, yesterday was the induction of Stephen McCollum as their new minister. And then also our relief committee, they just pray for the funds that are being sent out to the church in Ukraine and possibly to other sources, Christian works in Ukraine. And then they remember the situation in that war-torn land. But also one of the neighboring countries to Ukraine is a small country of Moldova. And that's where the relief team are planning to go this summer. Now, what may be possible that might change depending on how things develop. And the work that they'll do in the summer might change because of the number of refugees going across the border from Ukraine into Moldova. So remember the relief committee and their plans for summer work. We come to God now in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are God throughout all the earth. And although the nations of this earth are not known at all to us in so many ways, they are fully known to you. And Lord, we look to you for your mercy to the people of the land of Ukraine. We pray for many who have lost their homes, many who have fled for their lives. And we pray, O Lord, for your work in this situation. We pray that one way or another that this will quickly come to an end, and that the country will not become just a total disaster of a place. We pray for those many, many people who have already fled the country and who have crossed over borders and who are seeking refuge, and we pray for other countries that homes may be found for these people. We pray that they wouldn't have to be away from their homeland for a long time. And Lord, we pray for those families that have been broken up, with fathers remaining behind and mothers and children going off in trains, and just the breaking up of families that has taken place. We pray for the efforts of Christian churches in Ukraine. We pray that you will bless their witness. We pray for the money that's been sent out via our relief committee and their Ukraine appeal. We pray that that will be well used and that it will make a difference for many. We pray for the plans for a team to go to Moldova in the summer. And we pray, O Lord, for wisdom in knowing if that can go ahead, in adjusting plans in the light of the way things are developing. And Lord, we pray for all those neighboring countries and how they're trying to do something to help in the situation. Lord, we pray that there will be provision for those who are in great need. We pray for the work that Mary McCollum is doing in South Africa. We thank you for that opportunity she has to teach there in the school and to act as a mentor towards various young folk there. And we pray that you help her as she seeks to have a godly influence upon the young folk there in that needy area of South Africa. We give thanks for a new ministry begun in Airdrie. We pray, Lord, for Stephen McCollum as he enters into that work. We pray that you'll give him great wisdom, and may there be many encouragements in the early days as he takes up that work. We pray that you will strengthen your cause there. We pray, Lord, for the Jemfrey family. We pray for them as they finish up their time in Galway. We pray, Lord, for blessing to be attached to that. We pray for the Galway folk as they face a vacancy. Help Raymond Blair and his work there as interim moderator. We pray also for the Ballylagan congregation that you will help them in the disappointment of their call being declined. And we pray for the men who will be there week by week to take the worship services. We pray, Lord, that your work will go ahead and that congregation will prosper even in the midst of a time of vacancy. We give thanks for the congregations of Drumbolg and of Brady, looking forward to new ministries beginning, and also over in Scotland, the congregation in Stornoway. And we pray for the men who are moving to these places, for John Coulter going to Drumbolg, Paul Wallace going to Brady, and Kenneth Stewart going to Stornoway. We pray for them and their families as they move in due course, and we pray that Lord, you will help them in all the changes and all the settling in and getting to know people. And we pray that you will work greatly in these places, that there will be many good things that will happen in these new ministries. We pray, Lord, for those not able to be among our congregation today. We ask for those who are housebound, those who are caring for others. We pray for people who are ill, whether it's long-term illnesses or more short-lived things. And we pray, Lord, for your help and comfort. We pray for Tom Hannah in the care home at Craig Dunn. We pray for him that you will keep him, O Lord, in decent health and keep him from any infection that would be a setback for him. We ask, Lord, for your daily mercies and for those who look after him there and those who are able to go to visit. We pray for Linda Sharp, that you'll be with her and as she comes to near the end of her present radiotherapy treatment. And we pray, Lord, that as things are assessed after that, that you give wisdom to those who will look at those scans and whatever and help them to make wise decisions. And we pray, Lord, for your mercies towards Linda and Graham. And Lord, we pray that in your goodness they may be able to be back out at worship again, and that Linda would be well enough to be able to do that. Lord, we ask that you'll help us now in our worship. Help us as we think of your word and what the scriptures say to us. We pray that you'll be pleased to work among us by your Holy Spirit. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to speak today on the words of Psalm 116, the psalm that we read, and we're singing most of the psalm in our items of praise today. Psalm 116. As usual, this past week, there's been lots of bad news in the news. The continuing invasion of Ukraine and all the devastation, all the loss of life that goes on there on a daily basis. And then there's also been the sudden loss of 800 P&O jobs and the shock that has been to people. But in this past week, there has been at least one piece of good news. One situation where it was a matter for rejoicing rather than for concern. And for two families, the release of people who had been held hostage in Iran for a long time has made the news this past week. And it all happened seemingly very quickly and to the surprise of those who had been held captive. Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe has been released from her captivity. 6 years she was held there in Iran. And in various news items, her husband and her daughter have been shown. And that little girl who was under 2 years old when her mother left 6 years ago, she's now seven, heading towards eight, little girl called Gabriella. And this past week, she had the joy of seeing her mother arriving home and coming into the airport, and she was able to go and to hug her mother. And her mother has said that ever since that reunion took place, her little daughter has been attached to her like an extra limb. And a good news story and a situation of rejoicing in one family, more than one family, but That family in particular, where a wife has been reunited with her husband and a mother reunited with her daughter. And the loving relationship there within that family setting has been clear, and it has been evident. And there is a joy in a reunion that takes place between people who love each other but who have been separated from each other. And love is a wonderful thing, because it is an expression of what we find in God Himself. And right at the start of Psalm 116, the first thing the writer says is, "I love the Lord." And that's the first thing, first point that I want to speak on today. I love the Lord. This is a marvelously simple picture of what it means to be a Christian. A Christian is someone who loves the Lord. If you love the Lord, well then, you'll be someone who wants to spend time with the Lord. If you love the Lord, you'll be someone who wants to speak with the Lord that you love. If you love the Lord, you'll want to take time to listen to the Lord that you love and to what He has to say. If you love the Lord, you'll want His friends to be your friends. If you love the Lord, you'll want Him to know that you love Him, and you'll want to know that He loves you also. If you love the Lord, you'll want to be with Him always. And if you love the Lord, you'll want to show Him your love in every practical way that you can think of. And the writer says, "I love the Lord." And in doing so, he poses us the question, do you love the Lord? And that's a very, very important question. I'm not asking you, do you believe in the Lord? I'm not asking you, do you believe that what the Bible says about the Lord is true? Because you can do all of that. You can do all of that in your head, and yet He may be nothing special at all to you. And so the question is, do you love the Lord? Does He have that most special place of all in your heart? The Scriptures would warn us that if He doesn't have that place, then we haven't yet made it into the kingdom of God. Remember what the Lord Jesus taught about what is the greatest commandment of all. It is that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And the psalmist says, "I love the Lord." And he asks us the question, do you love the Lord? That's the first thing. I love the Lord. Second thing I want to speak about then is why love the Lord? And the psalmist tells us why he loved the Lord. He had reasons why he loved the Lord. It wasn't an irrational thing on his part. And it was because there was a time in his life when his life was under serious threat. He was in great trouble, great danger, and he cried out to the Lord in his distress. The Lord heard his cry. The Lord turned his ear to him, and the Lord had saved him. Verse 3, he talks about how the pains of death, or the cords of death, had surrounded him or entangled him. And He speaks about how the pangs of Sheol or the anguish of the grave had laid hold of him. He was in a bad place, in bad shape, in big need, and he had called upon the name of the Lord. And we're told that the Lord was gracious and the Lord was merciful, in verse 5. So here we have a person, and he was a bit like the thief on the cross. That man who cried out to the Lord, and the Lord saved him. Such was the psalmist of Psalm 116. And it seems clear that he's not just speaking about some close shave with death, the kind of thing you might have on the road when you nearly have an accident. But he's talking here about a close shave with spiritual death. He says in verse 8 that the Lord delivered his soul from death. Now, some of you will have been in a situation where you nearly lost your life. But the Bible teaches that all of us are born in peril of losing our souls. And by nature, God is against us. And God's judgment is hanging over us because of our sin and our sinful nature. And are we able to say, as the psalmist was able to say, that we also have cried out to the Lord, and we have been heard, and we have been saved? I wonder, have you ever cried out to the Lord, sensing the great, great danger that you were in? If you haven't, well then that death sentence is still hanging over your head. And it will not hang over your head forever. The day will come when it will fall. And it's not just a life sentence. It is an eternal sentence. And the man who wrote this psalm, he had been delivered from all of that. He knew what it was to have been saved. And he has good reason, therefore, to say, I love the Lord. He loves the Lord because he sees that the Lord has first loved him. The Lord has shown him mercy. The Lord has shown him compassion. The Lord has saved him. And what did he do? Well, all he did was cry out for help. And God gave that help and salvation, deliverance. That's all he did. He cried out to the Lord. There was no bargaining with God. There was no promises that, Lord, if you just save me, here's what I'll do for you. There were no efforts to try to make himself out as being more worthy of God's help than other people were. All there was a cry for help. God, save me. And when a person in sincerity cries out to the Lord like that, the Lord will not send that person away. There will be an answer. And the experience that the psalmist has is one that people today can enter into also. And his words are here to show us that what God has done for him, he will do for others who just cry out to him, knowing that there's no other hope. So, why love the Lord? Well, this man loves the Lord because the Lord saved him. The third thing I want to speak about from Psalm 116 is about responding to God's love. The psalmist loved the Lord, and he had good reason to love the Lord. But how did that show itself in his life? Was there any visible evidence of his love for the Lord? Did it mean anything in practice? Or is it just words? Does he just say, "I love the Lord"? Does it just mean he had a warm emotional glow within his heart? Was his life really any different from how it had been before the Lord saved him? And is there any difference between the way that a person who loves the Lord lives and the way that someone who doesn't love the Lord lives? Well, yes, there is. And within this psalm, I'm going to mention six ways in which we can respond and show our response to God's love. First of all, there is a new purpose. A Christian is someone who has a new purpose in life. And the psalmist expresses this for himself in three places. Verse 9, he is conscious that he has been saved and that from now on he will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. From now on, he will live in the knowledge that the one who saved him is watching over him, and he will walk before the Lord. He'll live his life out before the watching eyes of the Lord. He's conscious of a new purpose. And verse 12, he says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me?" And from now on, his life will be a deliberately conscious effort to show God his gratitude. He wants to render something to the Lord because the Lord has been so good to him. And also in verse 16, he says, "O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds." And no longer will he see himself, or will he see God, as someone who is trying to restrict his freedom, trying to curtail him. But no, he sees that God is the one who has set him free. And now he will gladly live as God's servant. So there's a consciousness of a new purpose, that from now on, I'm going to live as a servant of the Lord, looking for ways in which I can show my gratitude. New purpose. Then also the psalm speaks about new enemies. Coming to love the Lord didn't proved to be the end of this man's problems. In fact, it proved to be the beginning of a whole new set of problems. In verses 10 and 11, it seems that the minute he believed and he began to speak, he experienced great affliction. The minute he opened his mouth about the Lord, he became a man who was greatly afflicted. And when he began to tell people about his salvation, the reaction he got wasn't a good reaction. And he says, "I said in my haste, all men are liars." And those who heard what he said, they preferred to believe their own lies than to believe the things that he was telling them. And so there's a cost to loving the Lord. There's a cost to being a Christian. Those who are believers will rejoice when someone comes to love the Lord. But other people will not rejoice. And they'll not see any good in it at all. And they'll not want to hear the things that the new believer wants to tell them about. At best, they'll say, well, that's okay for you, but they think it's not okay for me. And what they really mean is that I'm not so gullible to believe that stuff that you have fallen for. So the psalmist who comes to love the Lord, he finds that he has new enemies because he loves the Lord. New purpose, new enemies. There is also a new willingness to receive God's gift of salvation. Verse 13, the psalmist says, I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. And he had cried out to the Lord, asking to be saved. And God has, as it were, held out to him the cup of salvation. And he had been humble enough to accept that cup. And in the light of Calvary, in the light of the death of the Lord Jesus, we have to be willing to accept salvation as a gift that comes to us from the Lord. If we want God to accept us, then we have to be willing to take that cup of salvation that is filled with the blood of Christ. And we might prefer to work for our own salvation. We might prefer to do something that will earn us credit with God. And God says, well, here's the answer to your prayer. Take the cup of salvation. Accept Jesus Christ as being the only way in which anyone is saved. And this psalm writer was willing to accept the cup of salvation. There's a new willingness to receive God's gift of salvation. Then, in the fourth place, there's a new commitment to prayer. The psalmist knew that it was through praying that he had received this salvation. And this has now given him an appetite for prayer. And in verse 2, he says, therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. And he repeats that determination in verse 13. He says about that he will call upon the name of the Lord. And in verse 17 again, that he will call upon the name of the Lord. And here is one way in which we can seek to respond to the great goodness of the Lord. We can become people of prayer. Not just those who turn to God in a really tight spot, but those for whom the normal thing in life is to look to the Lord in our prayers. I will call on him as long as I live. Those who love the Lord have a new commitment to prayer. Those who love the Lord don't say their prayers, they pray. And there's a difference. And the fifth thing then is that there's a new attitude to death. Those who love the Lord have a new attitude to death. For the psalmist, death had been the most frightening of prospects. For many people in the UK today, death remains the most frightening of prospects. And the whole COVID pandemic has served to highlight that. But the writer of this psalm has a new perspective on death, a new attitude to death. Verse 15, this is what he now believes. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And now he is one of God's saints. And he is aware that now he is one of God's people. And he knows that God watches carefully over the death of his saints. And God is like the father in the parable of the prodigal son. He is eagerly watching for the homecoming of his saints. And when a believer dies, that is a thing that is precious in the sight of God the Father, because it's his child that is coming home. And Richard Ratcliffe rejoiced in the coming home of his wife after 6 years of separation. Well, God the Father rejoices in the death of his saints because they're no longer separated from him, but they come to be with him in his home. And he rejoices in that. It is precious unto him. So for those who love the Lord, there's a new perspective on death. And death is a homecoming. And death is a thing that is precious in the eyes of the Lord who saved. A new perspective on death. And then finally, there's a new public commitment. And in verse 14, and again in verses 17 through to 19, the psalmist declares his intention to make a public profession of his newfound faith and thankfulness to God. Verse 14, I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And he talks in verse 17 about offering the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Verse 18, I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. He will do so, verse 19, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. And he's not content to keep this to himself. It was something that he wanted all God's people to share in. He didn't wish to keep his love for the Lord a secret. It wasn't something that he was ashamed of. It was something that he wanted the world to hear of. And so there's a new public commitment to being open about belonging to the Lord. And so here are some of the differences that it makes in a person's life where they come to love the Lord because he has saved them. And so we have to ask ourselves, if we love the Lord, well, how does that show itself in our lives? In what ways are we seeking to repay the Lord for all the goodness that he has shown to us? Maybe you've never got to that stage in life. Maybe you're not looking to repay anything because you don't really see that you've received anything special. And you're not able to say that you love the Lord, and you're not looking to respond to that love. Maybe you are a believer, but maybe you're a bit embarrassed to be seen as a believer. Maybe you're a bit embarrassed to be associated with other Christians or associated with the cause of Christ. Well, Jesus didn't hide his love for his people. Jesus gloriously displayed his love at the cross. He became a public spectacle that was despised by the crowds and crowds of people that looked upon him. They looked upon him, and he hung there in shame. But he hung there because of the love that he had for his own. And he was not ashamed to declare his love for his people. And we should seek to follow him, and we should seek to follow the path that we're shown here in this psalm. And we should not be ashamed to be known as those who love the Lord. Psalmist says, I love the Lord. And today, you either love the Lord or you don't love the Lord. You've either kept the greatest commandment of all or you're a breaker of the greatest commandment of all. It is a precious thing to be able to say, I love the Lord. Amen. Well, we sing again a further portion of this psalm, verses 8 through to 13, or stanzas 8 to 13 of Psalm 116. And this time the tune we use is Consolation number 66. Psalm 116, and singing the verses there on page 287 of our Psalter. What will I to the Lord repay for these his blessings all? Salvation's cup I will lift up and on the Lord's name call. And verse 11, it says, for you have freed me from my bonds. Thank offerings now I will bring as a sacrifice to you and on the Lord's name call. Well, we stand to sing Psalm 116, the stanzas 8 through to 13. The tune is 66, and after singing, we remain standing then for the benediction.
What will I to the Lord repay for this his blessings all? Salvation's cup I will lift up and on the Lord's name call. The vows which to the Lord I made, I certainly will pay. In presence of his people, may it be so, I pray. The death of all saints of the Lord is precious to his eye. Your servant, Lord, your handmaid, son, your servant true am I. For you have freed me from my bonds, thank offerings now I will bring as a sacrifice to you and on the Lord's name call. The vows which to the Lord I made, I certainly will pay. In presence of his people all, may it be so, I pray. Within the Lord's house, in its courts, amidst the city there, within you, O Jerusalem, praise to the Lord declare.
Now receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.